This week's parsha is Parshas Noach, and we'll focus our shiur on chapter 8, verse number 21 and 22. The context of the verse is that after Hashem brought the floods, and after Noach left the Teva, the ark, and he built the altar for Hashem, and he brought to Hashem the sacrifices, then in verse number 21 is written, Vayorach Hashem es reach nichoach, Hashem smelled the pleasant aroma. Vayomer Hashem Eliboy, Hashem said in his heart, Lo Oisif, I will not continue Lekalel Oid Es Adama, to curse the earth Bavur Adam because of man. Ki Yetzer Lev Adam, because the inclination of the heart of man, Ra Min Urav, is evil from his youth. Vayomer Oisif Oid Lehakos Es Kol Chai Kasher Osisi, I will not again destroy all living beings as I have done. And then Pasuk number 22, which is really going to be the main focus of our shir, says, Oit kol yemei aretz, continuously all the days of the earth will be zera, seed time, v'kotzir and harvest, v'koir and cold, v'choim and heat, v'kaitz and summer, v'choirev and winter, v'yoyim v'laylo, and day and night, lo'ish boisi, they will not rest, meaning that they will not cease to continue going in their cycle. Meaning, according to the simple interpretation, that after Hashem smelled the pleasant aroma of the karbonos, Hashem said, I won't destroy the earth anymore, meaning I won't curse the earth, and I won't kill every living being. And also, according to the simple interpretation of Rashi, Hashem guaranteed that as long as the world continues to exist, the natural cycle of the seasons, and the Torah describes six seasons, will not cease to exist. And also, day and night will not rest, meaning that they will continue to go on, unlike the way that was during the floods. We'll soon mention Rashi's comment on this psukim, but first I would like to bring to attention the Kli Yakor on the pasuk that says that Hashem won't curse the earth anymore because of man. The Kli Yakor cites that Rashi, in the beginning of Bereishis, on chapter 1, verse number 11, where Hashem asked that the earth bring forth herbage, and Hashem there requests that eitz pri, oise pri leminoi, a tree of fruit, to give forth fruit of its own kind. Rashi makes a point to say that Hashem asked eitz pri, that the trunk of the tree should taste like the fruit. But when it came time to actually do the job, in verse number 12 it's written that the eitz oise pri, that the tree only made, that a tree should give forth fruit, but the trunk of the tree itself does not taste like a fruit. Hashem wanted eitz pri, that the tree should taste like a fruit, but the earth brought forth only a tree that gives fruit, but the tree itself is not like a fruit, it's not edible. According to Rashi, the earth sinned, and because the earth sinned, when it came time, when Hashem cursed man, because of his sin of eating of the forbidden fruit, Hashem also cursed the earth, as it's written in chapter 3, verse number 17, Arura ha'adomo bavirecho, that the earth should be cursed because of you, meaning, according to the simple interpretation, that since man comes from the corrupt earth, then the earth is a contributing factor for man's corruption. Therefore, when Hashem cursed man, Hashem also cursed the earth. Rashi on Parshas Noach, chapter 6, verse number 13, it's written on the pasuk, Vayomer Elokim Noach, Hashem told Noach, Ketz kol basar bo lefonai, that the end of all flesh is coming in front of me, Kimolo oretz chomos mipneim, because the earth is filled with robbery, Vini mashchisom es oretz, and I'm destroying them, es oretz, normally translated from the earth. But Rashi brings a second interpretation, which is from Targum Unklus, and it's also from the Medrash, that Es Oretz means that I'm destroying you with the earth, Im Oretz, with the earth. So Rashi brings down, Sha'af Shloshot Fochim Shloim Kamachrisho Nimoichi, that the three handbreadths, that's the depth of the plow, meaning the top layer of the earth, three handbreadths of the earth, was also destroyed in the flood. The question that all Mefarshim ask is, why was it necessary to destroy the layer of the earth? I understand that man corrupted his way, that is very nice, but why is it necessary to destroy the top layer of the earth? The Kliyokor here explains why it was necessary. The Kliyokor says that since the earth was a source of corruption, it was the source that caused man to sin, as we mentioned, that the earth deviated from what Hashem told them to do. Hashem told them to make eitz pri ose pri, that the trunk should taste like the tree, but the earth changed and did only eitz ose pri, that the tree will give forth fruit. Therefore, since that source of corruption was always present in front of man, and since man was vegetarian, and since he's a vegetarian, he's ingesting fruits and vegetables from the corrupt earth. Therefore, the longer he lives, the more fruits and vegetables he ingests, the more corrupt he becomes, because that source of corruption is constantly there. Therefore, it's written in chapter 6, verse number 5, Vayara Hashem ki ra boros Adam, that Hashem saw that evil, wickedness of man was great, ba'aretz, on earth, but means ba'aretz, because of the earth. And since he is ingesting earth, v'chol yitzer machshavos liboy, then the inclination of his heart, rak rak kol hayom, is getting more evil every day, because the more fruits and vegetables he ingests from the corrupt earth, the more he becomes corrupted. Therefore, Hashem said that I have to destroy the earth, and Hashem decided that Hashem is going to destroy the first three tefachim, which is the depth of the plow, which is the main source of the nutrients of the vegetables and fruits, to remove the source of corruption from man. And also, after Hashem removed the source of corruption, Hashem purified that corruption by immersing it in the mikveh, because since the flood covered the whole world, that means that the earth had undergone a purification process. Therefore, Hashem is saying now that I don't have to curse the earth anymore because of man, because now if man sins, has nothing to do with the earth. If man will sin now, it will be his own fault, and it won't be the fault of the earth. Again, originally the earth was corrupted, therefore every time man sinned, since man ate from the fruits of the earth, man really sinned because of the earth. But now that Hashem brought the floods, and during the floods Hashem removed the top layer of the earth, which was the source of the nutrients of the corruption, because that is the source of the trees and vegetables, where they deviated from what Hashem commanded, that the tree should taste like the fruit. Therefore, after the floods, man lost that excuse. Man doesn't have the excuse anymore that he's corrupted because of the earth. Therefore, Hashem doesn't have to curse the earth anymore because of man. And the Kliyokor continues and says that since man has evil inclination when he's young, as the pasuk says, ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra min ha'urav, that the evil inclination of man is evil from his youth, but eventually at the age of 13, that man gets a good inclination, a yetzer tov, then the older he gets, the more he is able to wise up and combat the evil inclination. Therefore, it's not going to be necessary to destroy all beings anymore, because now man will have his good inclination to counteract his evil inclination. Originally, the longer the person lives, the more corrupt he becomes, because he ate from the corrupt earth. But since now the earth expunged its sin, it cleansed itself, and now that man has an evil inclination only in his youth, but eventually he gets a good inclination, that means that the older he gets, the less evil he does. If that is so, then Hashem doesn't have to continue and destroy all living because of the sin that he does now, because eventually he will wise up and he won't sin anymore. And the Kliyakar explains that according to what he just mentioned, we could understand the difference between Eretz Yisrael and other lands. Meaning that the Kliyakar is bothered by a very interesting question. The Egyptians that live in Egypt, and they are so corrupted, yet the earth does not kick out the Egyptians. There is no special reason for the Egyptians to be kicked out of the earth. But yet, in Parshas Achrimos, the Torah testifies that when the Jewish people are corrupted of Eretz Yisrael, on any nation that is corrupt in Eretz Yisrael, then the land itself disgorges the people. As it's written on chapter 18 of Vayikra, verse number 28, that you should not engage in lewd behavior, then veloisoki ha'ores eschem, then the earth is not going to disgorge you, but tamachem oiso, when you contaminate it, kasher ko es ha'goim asher lifneichem, in the same way that it disgorged the nations that were in front of you, meaning that the nations that were corrupt, that were criminal on Eretz Yisrael, the earth disgorged them. Therefore, the Torah is telling you, do not act lewdly, so the earth won't disgorge you in the same way that it disgorged them that kicked them out. The question that the Kliyakar is trying to answer is, why is Eretz Yisrael special, that Eretz Yisrael kicks out the people who commit crimes, who commit immorality? So the Kliyakar explains this based on the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Kof Yud Gimel 113a, where there the Gemara brings the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan says that Lo Yorat Mabul, that Mabul did not fall in Eretz Yisrael, meaning that the land of Israel did not have the floods. And Rabbi Yochanan brings a proof to this statement that the land of Israel did not have the floods from the Pasuk in Yechezkel chapter 22, verse 24, where there the Pasuk says, Ben Adam Omar Lo At, that man, Hashem is telling you, Eretz loyme toharohi, isn't this a clean land, loy gushama, that did not fall rain by Yom Zam in the day of anger, meaning that rain did not fall in the day of anger in the day of the floods. So Rabbi Yochanan holds that the floods never reached Eretz Yisrael. If that is so, the Kliyakar says, that means that the earth did not get purified in Eretz Yisrael. The earth is still corrupt. Therefore, the earth is afraid that if man sins in Eretz Yisrael, people are going to blame the earth for their sins. That every time a person is going to sin in Eretz Yisrael, is going to say, I'm sinning because I ate from the earth. Therefore, as soon as people start sinning, the earth disgorges the people, because the earth does not want to be blamed for the crimes that the people do. Other lands, since they already purified, they don't care if people sin, because they know that the person who sinned is going to be blamed by himself, because he cannot blame the earth, because the earth was purified in those places. But since the flood did not come from Eretz Yisrael, and because the flood did not come to Eretz Yisrael, therefore the top layer of Eretz Yisrael remains the way it was, that means that it is still corrupted. Therefore, any time a person sins in Eretz Yisrael, he could blame the earth. The earth is not interested in being blamed for the sins of the people. Therefore, the earth disgorges the people that sins. In other lands, since there was a flood, then the earth is not worried that people are going to blame it for the sins of men. Because since there was a flood, the top layer was removed, and then it got purified by water, then the earth cannot be the source of corruption to men. But in Eretz Yisrael, since there was no floods, then the earth could be blamed for the corruption of men. Therefore, as soon as man starts to err in his ways, the earth disgorges the people in order for it not to be blamed for his sins. Going to the Pasuk number 22, where the Pasuk says, Ve'yoyim ve'layla lo ishboisu, that day and night should not cease, should not rest, Rashi makes a comment and says that Miklal, from here you deduce, Sheshofsu kol yemoy samabu, that during the floods they rested, that they did not serve, meaning that since the Torah has to tell you that they are always going to continue, that means that while the floods, while the Mabul was going on, there was no day and no night. Rashi continues, Sheloi Shimshu Hamazolois, that the stars did not function, Veloi Nikar Ben Yoim Uvein Laila, and you could not recognize between day and night. The simple meaning is that you didn't know if it was day or night because there was no sun, there was no moon, everything wasn't working. And since everything wasn't working, it was impossible for them to know if it was day or night. And now, after the floods, Hashem is telling us that day and night will not cease, that we're always going to have the stars working, that sometimes it's going to be day and sometimes it's going to be night, that they won't be as the way there was in the flood, that then the star and the moon and the sun did not work. From now on, since he smelled the pleasing aroma of the korbanos of Noah, Hashem will make sure that they do not cease. During the flood, temporarily for the full year, they ceased. They didn't work. But after the floods, they will continue. The Mizrahi asks a couple questions on this Rashi. He says that even if you are going to say that Noah could not tell if it was day or night, but yet Moshe Rabbeinu knew after the fact when it was day or night, then we understand the pasuk number 17, where there the pasuk says that the floods were 40 days on the land. That I understand. And also we understand pasuk number 24, where the pasuk says, and the waters strengthened on the earth, chamishim umas yoim, 150 days, because that's possible that Noah didn't know exactly how many days there were, because since there wasn't day and night, Noah could not know. But Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu what happened, that 40 days the rain fell and 150 days the water strengthened. But he asks the pasuks that actually tell that Noah did something after certain days, how are we going to explain that? For example, in Pasuk number 6, it says it was the end of 40 days. Noah opened up the window of the Teva that he made. He asks, why is the purpose of a window if you can't look it out of it because there is no light? What is the purpose to make a window? And then it's written that he sent the raven to see if the water is dry. What purpose is it to send the raven if you cannot see anything, if everything is darkness, there is no day and there is no night? What purpose is it for Noah to send the raven to see? After the raven doesn't want to go, then 7 days later, Noah sent the dove. So how did Noah know when 7 days were up? If there is no day and no night, how do you know when 7 days is up? And the Mizrahi leaves this question without an answer. The Sifse Chachamim gives a very interesting answer. And the Sifse Chachamim says that when Rashi means to say Sheloi Shimshu HaMazolos, that the Mazolos did not serve, it means that they did not serve, they did not move in the normal way that they moved. But clearly, he says that the stars and the sun and the moon were in the same position that they were for the 12 months, meaning by Noah it's written that Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, in the middle of the day, Noah went into the ark, and that middle of the day became like that all year. Meaning, certain parts of the earth had all night, and Noah's part of the earth had all day. Therefore, there is no problem of how Noah was able to send the raven, how Noah was able to see that the waters dried up, and how he was able to send the dove, because they could see. Because where Noah was, there was constantly sun. And he says that language of Rashi is very exacting, because Rashi is not saying Sheloi he'iru ha'mazolos, that the stars did not shine. He says Sheloi shimshu, they did not serve, meaning that they were stationary in the sky, and they did not rotate in the normal way that they would during the year. And then the Sifse Chachomim continues and says the question that he asked, how did Noach know how to count the days? He says very simply, it's possible that Noach took a watch into the Teva, meaning that either he could take a sand timer or other kinds of timers, or he says that maybe Noach knew what the Gemara in Brachas Dav Gimel Omed Aleph says, that there is three different mishmorois in heaven, shifts in heaven, that after the first shifts, the donkey brays, the second shift, dogs bark, and the third shift, children suckle from the mother, meaning that when Noach heard the donkey bray and the dog bark, then Noach knew that this is the middle of the night. Or he says that maybe Noach listened to the rooster as we make the bracha, Hanoisen Lasech Vivino, that Hashem who gives wisdom to the rooster, Lahavchin, to differentiate Ben Yoim Uvein Laila, between day and night. So Noach listened to the rooster, then Noach knew that the day is beginning. Or could be that Noach knew it's day or night from the fact that the Medrash says that when Noach came into the table, he brought some stones that give out light. And when it's day, the light of these stones is bright. And when it's night, the light is dim. Therefore, Noach knew to differentiate between days and night. And Noach knew exactly how many days have elapsed between the sending of the raven and the sending of the dove, between the two sendings of the dove. And also Noach knew exactly how many days it rained and how many days it got stronger and how many days it took to dry up, because he had either a watch, or he had the knowledge by looking at the animals, or he had those stones that told them when it's day and when it's night. The Maharal in Guraria disagrees with the idea of the Sifse Chachomim that the sun was stationary during 12 months, but he answers the question of the Mizrahi with the Medrash in Bereshis Rabba, Parshat Chof Hei, where the Medrash there says that Omar Loi Rabbi Yonason held that Shimshu, that the sun and the moon did function, Elu Sherohoyo Rishumam Nikor, but they were not recognizable the certain times that they worked, meaning that the sun and the moon actually rotated, but they rotated in a faster pace or a slower pace, that certain times the sun was up for 2 hours and then the moon was up for longer, or certain times it was up for 23 hours and then it was off. But nonetheless, the sun and the moon did work, there was light, and if there was light, then the questions of the Mizrahi are all answered, because if there was light, there was a purpose for a window, and if there was light, then Noah could see if the land is dry, and Noah has a reason to send the raven and the dove. And the Gurari explains that the difference between the time of the flood and the time after the flood is that it was a set time, meaning that Noah could only send the raven when the sun was shining, but he could not predict when that is going to be. As soon as the sun started shining, Noah sent the raven and the dove, but he could not predict in advance what time that is going to be. Where post-floods, Hashem gives us a schedule when the sun is going to shine and when it's not going to shine. That is what changed after the flood. Sefer Be'er Basada explains that the question of the Mizrahi is a very strong question, and we really cannot answer the answers of the Sifse Chachomim or the answers of the Maral, because he brings the Medrash in Yalkut Shimoni on Parshas Noach, Remes Nun Zayin, where the Medrash goes on Pasuk number 16, where it says that after Noach and his family came into the Ark, Va'izgor Hashem Badoi, that Hashem closed off because of him. The Medrash says, Sogar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Cham Olavona, that Hashem closed off the sun and the moon, Veloi Hayu Ma'irim Kol Yud Beis Chodesh, they did not illuminate for all 12 months, meaning that there was no light of the sun and no light of the moon for all 12 months. Then according to this Medrash, the Mizrahi's question is very strong, because if there was no light, how is it possible that Noah sent the dove and the raven to see what is happening on the earth if there is no light? In truth, there is a machlokes in the Medrash Rabba on this idea, if there was mazalos or there was no mazalos. The Medrash Rabba in Parshas Chofei brings down the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that loishimshu mazalos kol oison yud beis chodesh, that during the 12 months there was no mazalos, there was no sun and no moon. And that could be what Rashi brings down. Then Rabbi Yochanan says that shimshu, that they did work, but v'loyayu rishim on nikar, but you could not see their schedule, meaning that you didn't know exactly what time it's going to be. Then we could say that the Medrash that says that the sun and the moon did not work during 12 months follows the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan that says that the mazalos did not work for all 12 months. And this is the opinion of Rashi, that Rashi says that after the floods, after Hashem smelled the pleasant aroma of the korbanos, of the sacrifices that Noah brought, Hashem promised that the sun and the moon will continue to go in a set cycle. They will again shine, not the way they were during the floods. It's interesting to note that the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Ches Omed Beis 58b, takes this pasuk and learns from this pasuk something completely differently. The Gemara there says, V'omar Ish Lakish says, Nochri Sheshovas, if a Gentile doesn't work, meaning that he rests and doesn't work for a full day and night, Chayev Misa, is liable for death. Shenemar, and they bring the pasuk here that we're just discussing, Yoim V'laylo, Lo Ish Boisu, that day and night should not rest, which is, according to Ish Lakish, not discussing about the day, about the sun and the moon, is discussing that a man should not rest a day and a night. Meaning that a Gentile that rests for a full day and a full night, he's liable for death, because the pasuk says that you should not rest a full day and full night. And according to this interpretation of Rish Lakish, we have to explain the association with the Mabul, with the flood, based on the Hemek Dovor, that he explains the psukim this way. He brings the theory that znus, that immorality, causes the earth not to give its fruit. Normally, when the earth doesn't give its fruit, it brings a hunger to the world. When there is a hunger to the world, then normally that brings a person to do tshuva. But in the case of the Ramabul, what happened is that the lack of food brought that people stole from one another. And because of people stole from one another, therefore Hashem decreed that the world should end. As pasuk number 12 in the beginning of the parsha says, Ki ish his kol basar es darkoi al haaretz, that all flesh corrupted their way on the earth, which that means immorality. And only afterwards it's written, when Hashem told Noah that he's going to destroy the earth, on pasuk 13, Hashem says that the reason is kimale oretz chomos, that the world is full of thievery, and Rashi brings down lo nechtam gzardinam elu ala gezel, that the reason that it was decreed that this generation should be destroyed is because of thievery. So we see that originally it started with immorality. The immorality caused a shortage of food. Instead of them repenting, the shortage of food caused them to rob one another. And once they robbed one another, therefore Hashem decreed that the world should cease to exist. But now we are after the floods. After the floods, Noah brought sacrifices, and Hashem smelled the pleasant aroma of the sacrifices. Then Hashem decided that Hashem doesn't want to destroy people anymore. Therefore Hashem said that I won't curse the earth, that the earth won't give the produce to man anymore, as it was when they committed immorality pre-floods. And Sefer Hemek Dover explains that the main reason for immorality is when you have a lot of time in your hands and you are healthy. Therefore Hashem decided that Hashem is going to give those seasons, the six seasons, for you to be able to plow certain times, to plant different times, to harvest different times. Like that, you will be constantly busy, and also the change in temperature from cold to heat will cause your body to not be as healthy as when it won constant temperature. Therefore, you won't have time for immorality. And finally, Hashem commanded that Yom V'Laila Lo Yishboisu, that a person should not rest from work day and night. Then, since he won't be able to rest, he's constantly working, then he won't have idle time to commit immorality. If he doesn't have idle time to commit immorality, then automatically the earth doesn't have to be cursed because of man. Once the earth is not cursed because of man, there is no thievery. Then if there is no thievery, then Hashem doesn't have to bring the floods again. So Hashem implemented a system to preclude the idea of thievery, to preclude the idea of people stealing from one another. And the system is that Yom V'Laila Lo Yishboisu, that a person does not rest a full day and a full night. Like that, if he doesn't rest, automatically he won't have his heart in immorality, because as the Emek Dover says, that immorality comes from person having too much time on his hand. Once it doesn't commit immorality, then the earth doesn't have to lessen its produce. Once the earth doesn't lessen its produce, there is plenty in the world. If there is plenty in the world, there is no need for thievery. And if there is no thievery, then Hashem doesn't have to destroy the world. Again, that the prohibition against resting day and night came because that causes you idleness. Idleness causes you immorality. Immorality causes lack of produce in the world. Lack of produce in the world causes hunger. Hunger causes thievery, and thievery causes the world to be destroyed. So therefore, if you rest day or night, that means that you are continuing the process that will cause immorality. Therefore, eventually, you are liable for death. The Torah Tamim explains the idea of Rish Lakish based on Ovos Rav Nosson, Perek Chof Aleph, where there is two separate memories, one for Rabbi Yosef Aglil. Rabbi Yosef Aglil says that Shkol Mishin Oisik B'melacha, that anybody who doesn't work, Arezim Yitzchayv B'Nafshoy, is liable for death. And then we have the opinion of Rav Yudah. Rav Yudah says, Gedol HaMelacha, that working is a great thing. Shelo Yodam Meis Elo Mitoich Batolo, that a person dies only because he's idle from working. So we see that if you become idle for working, that causes you to die. Therefore, he explains Rish Lakish Memre saying that Nochi Sheshavas Chayv Misa, that a person that rests is Chayv Misa, because since his bottle is not doing any work, therefore he is liable eventually to die because of his idleness. That person should always keep busy, like that prevents him from dying. It is important to note that according to this interpretation of the Torah Tamima, we don't understand the connection that this has with the Mabul, with the floods. But the Torah Tamima explains that Rish Lakish was compelled to translate this pasuk as referring to a person not resting for a day and night, and not as Rashi explains that the seasons should not rest or the day and night should not rest, because Rish Lakish is of the opinion that the sun and moon worked during the floods, that they continued to exist in the normal way. Therefore, when it's telling you that day and night should not rest, cannot be referring to the day itself and night itself, because it was always so and it never changed. Therefore, Rish Lakish is compelled to say that the Torah is alluding to a prohibition of men staying idle from work for a day and a night. Then the Torah Tamima asks, if that is true, if the reason is that a person should not become idle because idleness brings you to death, or as the reason of the Emek Dover, that idleness brings you to immorality and that eventually causes you to cause the world to be destroyed, then he asks, I understand that Shabbos, we actually have a mitzvah to be idle, because Hashem told us that we are required to keep Shabbos. But let's say on Monday or Tuesday, if a person is idle, then what difference does it make that if he's a Jew or a non-Jew? Why do you say only a Nochri Sheshavas, that only if a Gentile rests, then he's liable for death? Why don't you say that anybody who rests other than the days that he's required to rest as Shabbos, then he's liable for death? The Torah Tamima answers that there is a difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. Meaning, since the Jewish people were given the Torah, and the Jewish people have a mitzvah to learn Torah, therefore, when the Jewish person is idle from work, he's not liable for death automatically, because we assume that he is learning Torah, since he's required to learn Torah. But a non-Jew, since a non-Jew has a prohibition that he's not allowed to learn Torah, and if he learns Torah, he's liable for death for learning Torah. Therefore, when you see the non-Jew being idle, we know for sure that he is not learning Torah. Therefore, the Gemara says that Nochri Sheshavas Chayv Misa, that only a non-Jew that is resting, then is liable for death, because he's for sure not doing anything else. But when you see a Jew idle from work, then we could assume that the Jewish person is learning Torah. But according to this Torah Tamima, it comes out something very interesting, that a Jew that is not working and is not thinking of Torah, then technically he becomes liable for death in the same way as the Gentile is. Because the only reason that the Gemara writes down Nochri Sheshavas Chayv Misa, that a non-Jew that rests is liable for death, because he is not learning Torah. Therefore, if a Jew is not working, is idle for day and night, and not thinking about Torah, not involved in Torah, then that Jew technically is also liable for death in the same way as a Gentile is liable. Just a quick note, because I know somebody is going to ask me that normally Nochri Sheshavas means a Gentile that rests on Shabbos, but here in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Ches, clearly the Gemara says that Omar Ravina says, Afilu B'Sheni B'Shabbos, that even if a Gentile rests on Monday, not that he's keeping Shabbos, he rests on Monday, he's also liable for death. So here we're not referring to a Gentile that is resting on Shabbos. Regarding a non-Jew keeping Shabbos, there is a Medrash Rabbah on Parsha Aleph of Devarim that says that a non-Jew that keeps Shabbos is liable for death. There, Rabbi Yochanan gives the rationale and gives the explanation. He says that the example of a king who has a private audience with a matron, that anybody who interferes or butts in the king's audience is liable for death. So too Hashem said on Parshas Kisiso, chapter 31 of Shemos, verse number 17, that Beini uvein bnei Yisrael oisi loilom, that between me, between Hashem and the Jewish people, it's a sign forever, meaning that Shabbos is a private thing between the Jewish people and Hashem. Therefore, anybody who comes in that audience is liable for death. It is interesting that Rabbi Yochanan does not use the idea of somebody who is resting on Shabbos is automatically resting a day and a night, and then he should be liable for death for the simple fact that he rested for a day and a night. Why does Rabbi Yochanan need to take a separate pasuk and say that the reason is because you're interfering with the audience of the king? Technically, you should say that because you rested a day and a night, then you're automatically liable for death because of the pasuk that says that yom v'layla lo yishboisu, that a Gentile is not allowed to rest a day and a night. I wanted to say that all the machlokeses in Parshas Noach are all connected, and Rabbi Yochanan had no choice. He could not learn from that pasuk that says yom v'layla lo yishboisu, that a non-Jew may not rest day and night. Meaning that Rashi on Pasuk number 9, the first Pasuk of our Parsha, brings down regarding what's written, Ish Tzadik, Tomim Hoyo Bederoisov, he was a righteous person, perfect in his generations. Rashi brings two opinions. One opinion is that only in his generations he was righteous, but had it been in the generation of Avraham Avinu, in generation of righteous people, he wouldn't be righteous, meaning in a generation of everybody's corrupt, he is righteous. But in generations of everybody being righteous, then he wouldn't be considered such a righteous person. And the other opinion is the opposite, that even in generations where everybody is corrupted, he was able not to learn from his peers and was able to excel in righteousness. For sure, if you would be in a generation of righteous people, he would be even more righteous. But according to the first interpretation, Noah really wasn't such a righteous person. Then there is a machloikas that Rashi brings down, pasuk number 16, where he says, Toyar tasel ateva, you should make a window, normally translated to the ark. Rashi brings down two different interpretations. Yesh omrim chaloin, some people say that you have to make a window. Ve'yesh omrim even toiva ma'ir elohem. And there are those who say that there was a stone that lights up for them. Meaning that there's two different interpretations what Tzohar means. Tzohar means light. Light could come from the window or light could come from a stone. Mefarshim explain that this interpretation and the machloikas between Bederoisov of his generations is connected. That those who believe that Noah wasn't such a righteous person, and the rule is that when somebody is not so righteous, then he doesn't deserve to see the punishment of the people around him, because he technically deserved the same punishment, then he doesn't deserve to see his peers being punished. In the same way that by the story of Lot, when the angels were destroying Sodom and they were saving Lot, the angels tell Lot not to look back to Sodom, because technically Lot did not have enough merits to be saved. He was only saved in the merit of Avraham Avinu. So too here, technically Noah did not have enough merits to be saved. He was only saved because he found grace in the eyes of Hashem. He found chen. Chen means that you don't deserve it, but Hashem gives you because you found favor. Therefore, according to the interpretation that it was a fluorescent stone, it is because Noah did not deserve to be saved. He did not deserve to see through the window what is happening to his peers, because the only reason that he was saved was because he found grace in the eyes of Hashem. But according to the opinion that Noah was a righteous person and he deserved to be saved because he was even righteous in a generation of evil people, for sure he would be even more righteous in a generation of righteous people, then Tzohar could be translated as a window, because Noah in fact deserved to see what is happening to his peers because he was saved because of his own merits. Also, according to the opinion that says that it was a window, meaning that the Teva had a window for illumination, you must surely say that he holds that the sun was shining during the floods, because if it was not shining during the floods, what source of illumination would be? Because, as we mentioned, Rashi brings two different opinions. What was the source of illumination? One opinion says it was a window. The other one says that it was a fluorescent stone. Then clearly the opinion that held that it is a window must hold that the sun was operating during the 12 months of the flood. And now we could connect all the dots. Because even though Rashi does not identify the rabbis that hold that Noah was not a tzaddik in all generations, only in that generation he was a righteous person, but in other generations he wasn't so righteous, and the other one who holds that for sure he would be righteous in different generations, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kof Ches Omed Aleph 108a actually brings those people down. There the Gemara says, Bedoy Roisav, Omar Rabbi Yochanan says, Bedoy Roisav, only in his generation he was righteous. Veloy Bedoy Sacherim, but in other generations he wouldn't be righteous. Verish Lakish Amash, Rish Lakish says, Bedoy Roisav, in his generation, Vekolchkin, Bedoy Sacherim. And for sure, if you'd have been in generations of righteous people, you'd have been even more righteous. Now, according to Rish Lakish, that Rish Lakish holds that Noah was a righteous person, then Tzohar, when we're talking about illumination for the ark, must mean that the ark had a window. If the ark had a window, that means that the sun was operating during the 12 months. If the sun was operating during the 12 months, then when the pasuk says that day and night should not rest, cannot mean literally that day and night. It must mean that a person should not rest during day and night. Because according to Rish Lakish, since there was a window, there was light, there was day. And if it was day, then Hashem doesn't have to tell us after the floods that he will make sure that day and night will continue, because they were there the whole time during the flood. Then it must mean that a person should not rest for day and night. In the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan held that Noah wasn't such a righteous person. If he wasn't such a righteous person, then there was no window in the teva. There was a precious stone. As a matter of fact, the Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says in the Medrash that during the 12 months, there was no mazalos, that the sun and the moon did not operate during those 12 months. And he actually says that the illumination came from a stone. And since, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the sun did not operate for 12 months, therefore, after Noah appeased Hashem with the sacrifices, Hashem then says that the day and night should not cease. Hashem meant literally the day and night should not cease, because during the floods they ceased. Now they will not cease. That was the promise of Hashem. Therefore, we have no source now for the idea that somebody who rests for a day and night should be liable for death, because that verse that says that Yom V'Layla Lo Yishboisu, that a day and night you should not rest, refers to the actual day and not a person resting during the day and a night. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan needs to have a separate source for a non-Jew that keeps Shabbos, that is interfering with the relationship between the king and the matron, which means that he's interfering with the relationship of the Jewish people and Hashem, that this is only the reason that he's liable for death. But the mere fact that he rests, that doesn't make him liable for death, because there is no verse to claim that prohibition. Again, quickly, according to Rish Lakish, that Rish Lakish holds that Noah was a righteous person, then Tzohar means a window. If it means a window, there was illumination. If it was illumination, then the verse that says that day and night should not cease cannot mean day and night literally. It means that a person should not cease from working day and night. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, that holds that Noah wasn't such a righteous person, then Tzohar means a precious stone. And the reason that was a precious stone is because there was no light. Since there was no light, then the verse that says that day and night should not cease is referring to actually day and night, that Hashem is going to restore the day and the night. Now we don't have a source for somebody who rests day and night should be liable for death. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is a special source for a Gentile that keeps Shabbos and Shabbos only, that he is liable for death because interfering with the relationship between the Jewish people and Hashem. And Hashem Yisburach should help that in this week of Parshas Noach, that we see that Noach found grace in the eyes of Hashem, so too should the Jewish people find grace in the eyes of Hashem, that Hashem should send Moshiach, he should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, v'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.